Wanted to give you a minute because the first time through, sometimes it's, if you're not in this habit of cultivating an attitude of gratitude, it's actually hard to think of things that you're grateful for. I'm honestly amazed how easy it is to get in a negative rut, to list all the things that I need help with, all the brokenness in the world, all those pieces, instead of just stopping for 1 second and saying, I'm going to rejoice in this. I'm going to give thanks for this. It's funny because as I've experimented with praying this way, and quick sidebar, I'm not giving up on intercession. Actually, I'm putting together a team to really press into that here at Promise. And if you're an intercessor, if you're one that when you pray for people, you see things happen, talk to me because I want to put you on that team. We're putting together a team that's going to go, hey, we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray with people. We're going to come alongside that. Talk to me if you're that person. If you're not yet, notice the key word, yet, we're all going to get there. If you're not yet, what I'll warn you is to tie the whole sermon up. When you start cultivating an attitude of gratitude, you see the push. When you start praying and giving thanks, keep praying until something happens. But you know how this works out? And I felt stupid writing this sermon because I'm like, duh, you know this. God always does something in you before he does something through you. The something that happens, if it's of God, is in the person before it's through the person. Why? Because God is more interested in you than in what you do. God is more interested in who you are, his beloved child, and transforming you than he is in using you like a monkey wrench that can be thrown away when it's broken. So that's the gospel. If you prefer a theological word for this, if an attitude for gratitude just sounds too bumper stickery, if it feels too far away from Jesus, not Christ-centered enough, then let me put it in the Greek, eucharisto. Anybody hear that word? Eucharisto, or Eucharist. It's what we call this meal, Jesus' very body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine. But if you prefer it in the Latin, it's Eucharist. The word means to give thanks. If Labor Day is not anything else, it's a day where we reflect on our rhythms. I mean, look at the paradox. Labor Day, which, by the way, when it was going to be the push sermon, there was going to be this whole innuendo, Labor Day push. Do you get it? It would have been funny. Everybody would have laughed. Somebody wouldn't have got it until Tuesday. Somebody would have told me, she's in labor right now and we have a grandbaby. When we were doing that, Labor Day is all about rhythms. On Labor Day, the day that we celebrate work, how do we celebrate it? Yeah, by not working. I love it. It's a day where we reflect on our rhythms. We're built into the DNA of Americans is that our identity isn't found in work, but work is something we do. And how do we celebrate that gift of God? We celebrate it by resting. When we're thinking about rhythms, think about the rhythms Jesus had. Rhythms of work, rhythms of rest, rhythms of stopping and giving thanks. How many times in Scripture does it say before Jesus ate, he stopped and he Eucharisted? Even in the midst of the stress, knowing that he was going to dip his hand into the bowl of bread and pull out a piece with Judas who would leave and betray him, he started the meal off by giving thanks. The reason we return to an attitude of gratitude is because that's what we see Jesus do. What's it look like to pause and to give thanks? One way we do it is we return to this table. We return to the thanksgiving that all gifts, especially the gift of eternal life, come through Jesus Christ alone, not because we've done anything to deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because he looks at us and he loves us. And so we pause and we prepare our hearts to receive this gift.